Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
This is the PT Pinecast. And we're on the road, live from Miami. We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. We talk PT, drink beers, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast, recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, let's do it. What am I drinking again? Windmill. No, something different. All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. We are live at the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. I want to thank the American Physical Therapy Association for letting us come down here. Our next guest has been a faculty member at Northern Arizona University since receiving his PhD from the University of Arizona 13 years ago. Recently made a professor and also serves as the Flagstaff Mountain Campus Physical Therapy Program Director. He was the recipient of the College of Health and Human Services Teacher of the Year Award in 2006. The APTA selected him as an innovator in physical therapy practice in 2013 for his work in promoting emergency department physical therapy. Welcome to the PT Pinecast, Michael Lebeck. Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me.
First conclave in a while, or you make it a habit of coming out to these things?
I have spoken at the conclave before. I spoke on the same topic of emergency department physical therapy, and I really enjoyed it. I think that one was in Minneapolis. Both have been good so far.
It's a different energy. I've been to all three of the major conferences, and you really do feel a difference. And the last one I went to was CSM, and that one's just on a different scale. But I do like the fact that this one is a little bit smaller, but it's all just students. You get a different vibe, you get a different feel.
Absolutely, and I think it's inspiring to me whenever I see so many students that come here just for this purpose and really taking ownership, because at the other conferences, like you said, it's led by people who are in the profession and licensed, but here, the students really show that at that level you really can get involved, and so I think that's what brings that energy to it.
I think it's a big deal. It's often overlooked. You know, you've got students who don't have a lot of money coughing up money to fly somewhere and stay in a hotel, 3, 4, 5 people to a room and come out to events like this, and you know, just buying the ticket to the event, flying here and staying in a hotel, it's gonna set you back something as a student. But it shows that the students who do show up shows what kind of faith they have in that profession they're jumping into.
Well, and that's really what it's about in becoming involved in the profession, is that you have to make those sacrifices. You know, later on, whenever you're an APTA member, you're going to have to write that check once a year.
Yeah.
And so students that are willing to make that investment right now are the ones that really go on and do some great things in the field later on.
I'm going to be talking to Sharon Dunn later on this weekend, but you got to think about it like this. However many PT students there are in the country, a fraction of them are actually able to physically come to Conclave, but you got to think that there's probably the next Sharon Dunn who's been to one of these conclaves, maybe this one right here, and she's representing the field.
I think I saw her over in the corner.
She could have been over there having a beer, which is what I like in my future leader as well. So emergency department physical therapy, I'll be honest, coming into PT from radio, I don't think I could have told you three different settings in physical therapy. I thought it was just physical therapy. And now that I've got into it, man, you could put PT in a lot of different places. But how does it fit in the ED?
Well, that's one thing that maybe you should come to the sessions and find out. But I will give you the preview. The spoiler here is really that what happens in the emergency department and the things that we do in the emergency department really are not all that different than what happens in other physical therapy settings. It's just under very different circumstances. One being, of course, we only see the patient one time.
Right.
But really the key is that we're going to get the patient at the point of entry into the healthcare system. We're going to give them direction right away rather than waiting until they bounce around within the system. We're going to do some diagnosis early on. We're going to do some education, getting moving in the right path. There's a lot of orthopedic intervention that happens there, but we can intervene at a lot of other levels, including safety, falls, vestibular, wound care, and a whole lot more.
It sounds like someone who's working in the ED, if you're a physical therapist, you've got to be a jack of of all trades. You've got to be prepared to see a wide variety of patients.
Well, you really do. And again, you have to be able to adjust to some different circumstances. You got people that come in with higher levels of pain. You have people that come in with a lot of different psychosocial issues. And so you have to really be very flexible. You don't have a schedule in this department. And feast or famine, you may see patients 10 in a row back to back, or you may do nothing for a couple of hours and then all of a sudden it goes crazy. So you're right. You have to be able to do a lot of different things, and you have to have that flexible mindset.
So give me an example of what types of patients you'll be seeing and what things you might be having them do, or how are you affecting them, or how are you treating them?
Conditions which affect the spine are probably some of the most common.
Yeah.
People who come in with back and neck problems. We do some hands-on work. There's things we can do, hands-on work, manipulation, manual traction in that setting to really be able to try to help them on the spot. But really, it is about the education, you know, telling the patient, yes, we've seen this before. Yes, it can get better. Reducing that fear of movement, getting them to a less restricted mindset, and teaching them how to self-manage the condition. Here are the exercises you can do now to get yourself out of pain. Here are the exercises you can do later to help prevent it from coming back.
Prevent you from having to come to the emergency department in the first place.
Exactly.
The more and more I practice, and I've been a PT for about 7 weeks now, but the more I went through PT school, that education component, at first I thought it was just kind of a throwaway. We'd talk about like our pathology, and of course you'd educate the patient. And the more I saw how heavy that is and how important it is of just educating the patient of what they can do, because they're going to be with themselves 168 hours a week. Let's say you have a PT visit twice or three times a week. That's three out of 168. But if you can teach them how to fish, man, that's going to be important.
Well, and it's really the wave of the future. Physical therapists we want to be practitioners of choice, autonomous practitioners that people see on a regular basis. Then that's really the mindset that we have to have, is to get them to the point where we are doing education for them and sending them in the right direction.
I like that very much. Do you see physical therapy in the ED getting larger?
Well, it has been. You know, it's still a relatively small percentage of all institutions that have this type of practice. But last time I did this presentation 5-6 years ago, there were maybe a couple dozen programs. Now, I would say there's three or four times that.
Good.
So it's growing a lot. It's just still a very small percentage of institutions out there that have engaged in this. The good news is a lot more people know about it. Now when I do presentations, when I talk about it in other settings, most people have heard something about this. In the past, like I was, whenever I was first exposed to it, I had no idea what a physical therapist would do in this type of setting. And so now they do.
The APTA recently launched a large initiative, that hashtag ChoosePT campaign, really aimed at fighting opioids. And I'm guessing that in the ED is a place that people would actually get prescribed a lot of opioids. Do you see that as an area we should focus on along with that ChoosePT campaign? Is that education right at the point where we can say, hey, you can have these, or you can have these exercises in this education? Is that a place we can really make a lot of noise and a good effect?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was involved in the practice full-time years ago in Tucson, when we started the first full-time emergency department physical therapist practice in the country, that was one of our most common reasons for being referred, was that the physician either didn't want to prescribe opioids for this patient, it was a patient that they thought might be opiate-seeking, or they just weren't sure, or sometimes people have allergies. So all of those were instances in which they saw physical therapy already back then, and we're talking 15, 16 years ago,
right,
as a viable alternative.
And that's good to hear that. I think a lot of times we like to throw physicians under the bus by saying, well, they created this problem by prescribing opioids. There are a lot of physicians out there who are trying not to do that and trying to find positive alternatives like physical therapy. So it's good to hear you mention that, because I don't want to throw an entire population of healthcare providers under the bus. I think that's a throwaway. That's not fair.
And I think what you said is spot on. I think the vast majority of physicians are very responsible about this, to the point sometimes where they overthink it. I went to an emergency department conference that was put on for emergency physicians and presented some of my work there, and I just went to some of the other sessions, and really some of them were even talking about it's okay to prescribe this at times. They even made a joke about giving a child a lollipop that had painkillers in it whenever they have a bad condition, and sometimes that's looked down on. And the physician made a joke, said, what's he going to do, go sell it on the street?
Right.
And there's times when it's appropriate, and they really do know that it's an issue, and they really do try, but they have limited tools in their toolbox to deal with situations like that. And that's why physical therapy is such a good thing, because it provides another alternative.
I want to give kudos to another podcaster, but not a physical physical therapist, an MD. His name's Dr. Drew Pinsky. He was on the show Loveline for a long time, and now he's on a podcast called The Adam and Dr. Drew Show. He rages against surgery, specifically spinal or back surgery, and often advocates towards physical therapy. So there are a lot of doctors out there, especially some in the media like Dr. Drew, who are saying there are alternatives to these painkillers. But he also points out sometimes there are situations where people, this is a painkiller might be the best option, but they have to keep their mind open and make sure it's not just the first thing they pull out of their toolbox.
Well, and I think that's a great example and a good one to put out there.
So not only are you in the ED, and that's what you're talking about this weekend at your presentation, but you're also in EDU, in education, a professor, talking with students, teaching them, but you do things a little bit differently. And a little birdie told me you might be musically inclined, and you might use some sort of musical instrument in teaching. And what is that?
Well, musically inclined would be defined very broadly in this instance. Musically inclined in that I use music, absolutely. You know, it really goes back to when I was...
That's different.
What is different?
Using music. I like to hear about this. Yeah.
Well, it is. And, you know, guitar is something I've been playing guitar since I was in high school. I'm an okay guitar player. I can carry a tune, and that's about it as far as singing. But really, what I have to say is I do have a knack for writing satirical lyrics.
I like that.
And I used to write songs for family holidays that would include everything that happened in the last year.
Yeah.
When I worked in the... Thank you very much. I have to give a shout out to our students from NAU. Cameron Wallace just delivered me a beverage, which is appropriate for
beer's
the...
Beer's delivered. That's nice. Paint
cast.
Appreciate that, Cameron.
Thank you. And I would do that for people's birthdays in the hospital when I worked there, and I thought, how can I implement this into my teaching?
Absolutely.
So I took the challenge of teaching physical therapy documentation, which is not a favorite subject.
It's pretty dry.
So I took it as my personal challenge to make it not dry and engaging, and I thought bringing the music in is one way to do that. So I made a series of songs that I would intersperse with the lessons that were aimed at teaching physical therapy documentation concepts. And I still, on Facebook, from graduates, people send me messages and say, hey, I really remember some of these concepts because of the way that you delivered them.
If it's done in a unique and creative way, it's going to leave an impression. I'd be a shitty podcaster if I didn't say, you got to give me some lyrics or something.
Well,
I don't have a guitar here, but...
I'm not going to sing because...
Just give me a sample.
The initial song that we start every session with is, documentation can be fun, just you wait and see. So come and walk down documentation lane with me. And then we go on and do a little Adam Sandler-esque vignette that incorporates a lot of principles.
All right, so Cameron just delivered you a beer.
Yes.
I want to see, there's got to be video floating around somewhere with some audio attached to it of you singing some of these songs. Does that exist anywhere? I'd love to edit that in right about now.
I do have a video of me playing that I posted on Facebook one time to put out there. That's when my hair was a little bit longer, and so I don't let that, it's not so much the singing, but more my physical appearance.
Better part about the podcast is it's just audio.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I like that. What are some of your favorite things to instruct? What are some of the areas besides just ED education? What other things do you like?
Yeah, I teach primarily in the musculoskeletal tract, and so I teach our musculoskeletal 1 and musculoskeletal 2 classes. Mentioned the documentation. I have taught our Foundations of Physical Therapy practice class, where students learn to do an evaluation and some of the other skills that are on top of that. I've taught therapeutic exercise. I've taught evidence-based practice. But I really enjoy teaching in the musculoskeletal area, because that's really where most of my practice was. And even the emergency department, the bulk of the patients were musculoskeletal in nature. So that's probably what I enjoy the most. But I still enjoy working one-on-one with students in our student clinic. And that's probably the most rewarding type of teaching, because you're really making an impact immediately.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
It really is.
So you've written some papers on some overuse injuries, specifically with mountain biking. I like when things get really, really specific like that. Talk to me a little bit about that and what your research was there.
Oh, well, that was really just an artifact of, you know, we're having a beer right now, and it was a beer and pizza conversation.
Those are the best.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, the best ideas come out of everyday conversation. So in Flagstaff, Arizona, we do a lot of mountain biking, and I do mountain biking with a lot of friends. So I was with some of them, and we started talking about how so many of us, as we got a little older, started to have a lot more aches and pains as a result of mountain biking, specifically single speed mountain biking, where you ride a bike that only has one gear. And it was it's a trendy thing to do, is to ride that. Well, it's a little different than a fixie. A fixie, you can't pedal backwards.
Oh, okay.
But this, you can do that, but there's just, you can't shift gears. So when we noticed, once we started riding our single speeds a lot, we started to have more aches and pains. And we wondered, could that lead to more overuse injuries? And so one of my friends said, his exact quote was, "Aren't you a doctor or something?" And I thought, you know, that could be a research project. So we put together a research project where we surveyed over 400 mountain bikers and put together a study to determine if a certain type of cycle would lead to more overuse injuries.
And what was the result? What did you guys find out?
Well, the result was even more interesting because it was not exactly what we thought. There was no difference between those who rode a multiple geared bike where you can shift gears and a single speed mountain bike, but those that switched back and forth between a single speed bike and a multiple geared bike were the ones that had more overuse injuries.
Huh.
And that's exactly what we were doing.
Wow, I like that very much. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk with Mike about pro bono physical therapy practice. We've had some conversations about this before on the show. When we come back, we want to get into his experience with that on the PT Pinecast, so don't move.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariasmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com.
We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. The PT Pinecast, poured by Arias Medical Group. This is the PT Pinecast. Recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, we're back in the PT Pinecast talking with Mike Lebeck. And we're going to get into three questions powered by our sponsor, Arias Medical Group. Three questions just kind of lets us get into your head a little bit deeper.
Okay, I'm nervous but ready.
All right, so you live in Arizona, but if you could practice physical therapy anywhere else inside the U.S., where would you want to be a PT? Where's somewhere that you'd want to go?
Gosh, that's a tough one. Well, you know, I've been fortunate to live in Flagstaff and be around mountains, so I would go somewhere by the beach.
Yeah.
And so I would say Key West.
Key West, ooh. Southernmost point of the U.S. I like it very much. Arias Medical can help you get there, too, so check those guys out online. Second question, what have you recently read or currently reading can be PT or non-PT related? That was good.
I'll give two answers, the real answer and then the politically correct answer. But, you know, I feel like so much of my job is using my brain, so when I go home, I like to brain dump a little bit and do something that's completely unrelated to my work. So I read a lot of mysteries and suspense, and so right now I'm reading a book by Jeffrey Deaver, who wrote The Bone Collector, and it's famous for, it actually has a PT bent to it. Some of his stuff with Lincoln Rhyme is a patient who's spinal cord injured that really does a lot of forensics. So that's what I'm reading now. But I also, more often when I read something that is professionally focused, of course, other than journal articles, I read about teaching practices because I like to maximize my teaching.
That's cool. I like that. All right. Third question is, who is someone within the field of physical therapy that we should know more about? Maybe someone who's flying under the radar, a colleague or someone you've crossed paths with, someone you'd like to read about, who we should know more about?
I'm going to really go with somebody that we don't know a lot about, but we have a faculty member who we just hired recently. And his name is John Hite. So he's at Northern Arizona University. He is the president of our state association, the Arizona Physical Therapy Association. And since getting in the field, I'm just very impressed by him in that he's been so willing to dive into so many different areas of service for the profession. He is a faculty member. He does research. He maintains clinical practice and somehow keeps a much more level head about all this than I do. He did receive an Emerging Leader Award years ago from the APTA. And I would say he's somebody who you could expect to see in a leadership role nationally in the not-too-distant future.
That sounds like a really glowing endorsement. I like that very much. We'll check him out. All information that we just mentioned, you can find it, more of it, at the blog post for the Chaser for this episode at ptpinecast.com. So pro bono PT practice, you talked about working with students in a practice. Is that attached to where you work? Is that attached to where you teach?
Well, we have a student-faculty clinic. That's one of the unique things that we have at Northern Arizona University. We get referrals from our campus health center, and so patients will come over, and students are assigned to work with them under the supervision of a faculty member or a local clinician. And so I will do my part in that. I don't do as much as I used to now that I'm doing some administration, but I still do work with multiple students per semester, and we will treat patients in that setting. So that's mostly where I engage in practice one-on-one with students these days.
But you've also done some pro bono work internationally. Little Birdie told me you went down to Haiti in 2010 after the major devastating earthquake down there. You've done some stuff south of the border in Mexico. That's got to feel pretty good to make to know that physical therapy can go that far and do so much. Talk to me a little bit about that when going to Haiti or going to Mexico.
In 2010, of course, the earthquake was very devastating for the country of Haiti. And I was inspired by others that I knew who had done this. There were a couple people that I went to physical therapy school with years ago that went down and I saw work that they had done. And then there was a group from Flagstaff, not just physical therapists, but physicians and nurses. And there was a big group of them that went. And so I was very inspired by that. And that's actually the last time I was in Miami, was when I flew through here on my way to Haiti. So I joined on a trip and I went down for a week. It was about 6 months after the earthquake. And most of the care was being provided in tents at the airport. And the week that I went, it was interesting because that was the week we transitioned from that hospital tent into a permanent facility. And it was a very eye-opening experience. And of course, my background being in outpatient orthopedics, we were able to provide that type of care. But of course, there were much more involved individuals. And so I had to get out of my box and do dependent transfers. Yeah. Look at extensive wounds and what should be done with those, and do some pediatrics even. And I hadn't done pediatrics in a long time. But you know, the silver lining was, as much as I was out of my box and maybe not the most skilled person in those areas, it was more than those patients were going to get.
Absolutely.
So that was just really eye-opening as to the type of life that we have and we take for granted on a daily basis, and the type of life that these people had, that, you know, there's not clean water, they're living in tents. And I'll tell a quick story about this. There was one of the techs that was working with us who was not a patient, and I asked him about the earthquake, and I said, "Where were you during the earthquake?" And he said, "It was the luckiest thing. I was just walking around to the yard behind my house. I was just walking around the yard." And then I said, well, where do you live now?" And he looked at me like it was the stupidest question ever. And he said, "In the yard."
Wow.
Because his house no longer existed.
Wow. But it was lucky because he wasn't in it when the earthquake hit.
Right.
Wow. We talked about previously to a guy by the name of Justin Dunaway who does some great work in Haiti with the organization Stand Haiti. But you also went to Mexico. You went south of the border. What were you able to provide down there?
Yeah, so we are pretty close to the Mexican border in Arizona. There's a small town called Puerto Peñasco. It's a few hours south of the border. And I knew a physical therapist who was doing pro bono work there. You know, Puerto Peñasco, Rocky Point, it's collectively known, is a place where people from Phoenix and Tucson go on vacation all the time. But there are some very underserved areas there, and people who, again, don't have, they live in a house with a dirt floor and don't have access to health care. So I went down and explored this, did some service down there. We would run an all-day clinic and just do whatever we could do. It was a lot like working in an emergency department, actually. People come in and we do whatever we can do, and then we send them on their way. So then what we did the next year was we took some funds and made them available from our program for some of our students to go down and participate in this program. And some of them are here today. Tina Stahl, who is one of our NAU students, got to participate in that. Cameron Wallace, who was here earlier, he participated in that. And they were there for a whole week, and they said it was a very rewarding experience. Cruz Romero is another guy. I can see him over at the bar right now. You know, just again, an example of how dedicated that the NAU physical therapy students are. So that was the experience that we had, and I was able to provide that, but really I feel better about providing that opportunity for the students to be able to come involved and learn under those circumstances.
Yeah, Marymount University in Arlington, where I went to PT school, we do the entire third year class goes to Costa Rica for 2 weeks, and we looked forward to it for a couple of years because, hey, who doesn't want to go to Costa Rica? But when we got there, we really started to know we were getting more out of it from them than we were ever putting in, and it's just a really great experience. So I want to stress, if anybody ever has a chance to do some international work and work in some underserved areas, take that chance because you're going to get a lot out of it.
Well, I got to agree, and you know, you got to do it for the right reasons. It's nothing wrong with going to a place where it's exotic and you're going to learn something. But, you know, you just really got to be able to put yourself into it when you get there and be prepared for, you know,
uncomfortableness.
Getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, big time. So I like how you related that full circle. We started off talking about physical therapy in the ED, and that's very similar to working in an underserved area. You're not going to have a lot of tools or a lot of time, and you're going to have to try to do as much as you can, but it could be more than that person's ever going to get. You know, Justin Dunaway earlier on an episode talked about people would wait in line for 5, 6, 7 hours. They'd walk several hours to the clinic just to be seen by a physical therapist because they don't have that in other places, and we do, like you said, take that for granted.
Well, I think that's really true, and you know, physical therapists, you know, we're so used to having all the luxuries and being able to know exactly what to expect, and it's those kind of experiences, and you don't have to go to another country to do that. You know, if it just means working in a different setting, sharing, working in acute care, floating up to those floors rather than staying an outpatient, but just getting out of your box and having those additional life experiences that enrich you.
I like that very much. All right, so every episode that we do is a pint, and before we're done with the pint, we do shots, parting shots of wisdom. So if you were to give one parting shot of wisdom to maybe a student who is out there listening, who's thinking, hey, physical therapy in the ED, I like the sound of that. What would you want to tell those students?
I'm going to take it a little bit beyond physical therapy in the ED.
Okay.
You know, when we started the program in Tucson, and I got to say, I was not the person, I was not the brainchild for this. It was a couple of my friends, but I came in shortly after that and have promoted it ever since. But they were pioneers. They had the courage to do something different. And that's what I would say to all of the students out there is have the courage to take the next step, to not just do what's been done before, and to think a little bit bigger. You know, in physical therapy, if we want this profession to continue to grow, we need people that are willing to do that. So just like those individuals and then myself later were willing to do that, that's what I would encourage everybody to do, is to get involved at a higher level and just think what else can be done here.
I like that very much. I want to thank you very much for taking your time out here at National Student Conclave. I want to thank the American Physical Therapy Association for putting on an event like this where students do get to be exposed to innovations such as the presentation you'll be giving this weekend. So thanks for taking some time out and having a beer with us, Michael Beck.
Well, thanks so much for doing this. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy hearing it, and you're good at what you do, so keep it up.
I drink beer and we talk PT. That's it. Appreciate your time, Mike.
Thank you.
We're working our brain and our brachioradialis at the same time. This is the PT Pinecast, brewed by Arias PT Staffing. Want a job? Ask Arias. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.